Welcome back, everyone, to the Finance Committee meeting. We're moving on to the activity review. This is item 10.1, and this is the activity performance report for the second quarter.
What committee is this?
We're in Nick and Mike's hands.
I'm going to kill this very shortly.
Just cover off anything initially, and also Mike, just wondered whether I know this is the second quarterly report we've had with the new reporting regime in place, and just wondered whether you could just go through one of the slides and just give us a quick overview of
how
it functions.
Yep, Nick said you wanted, Mike thought it would be a bit of value, and just giving a very quick recap. Conscious it's been a long day, so I'll keep it pretty high level. But how the template hangs together is you've got a cover report, and that's getting us into an exception type conversation where you're looking at where it looks at, really highlights what has changed since you last engaged in this discussion. And the template itself is attached to the cover report, and it's got three parts, if you like.
What page are you on, just to help?
Oh, sorry.
10.1.
I believe it's 20.
Well, you'll be on.
On the iPad.
Yeah.
Because they're on page. So which one are you on?
I'm with the cover report. 29
and 91?
Yeah, 29. Yep. So 29 of 91.
29. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. No, that's okay. Yep. So the attachment is the quarterly report, and you can think of it in three sections. There's page 29, which gives you a summary of all the 12 significant activities that are based on our corporate plan, our annual plan, and LTP. And on that page 29 there, you can see a summary of both the financials and your non-financials. And that top row, if you like, shows you that, you know, we have 60 service targets, and it shows you that 38 of them are on track, 20 not on track, 2 red won't be achieved. Shows you that middle dial there that shows you the overall percentage of spend expenditure against the overall budget, and a chart presentation of that on the right. And then that middle column shows you the graphical breakdown across the significant activities. And then the bottom row there again shows you the how we've performed against each service measure for each significant activity. And it shows that by that colour basis. So that's the overview, and then each significant activity following that, each significant activity is represented by two pages. So say page 30 is your freshwater significant activity, that is your non-financial overview. Page 31 then flips into the financial view of freshwater, and so forth for each of the 12 activities. And then the third bit of your this report is the actual targets and measures themselves.
Brian.
This is just sort of information at this point, isn't it? So, like, if I wanted to see which ones were not on track, should I just go right to the back and then find them that way?
Probably. That's where I would start. That's the bit I use as
this
a...
This is just offset. Fairly touchy, sort of over-the-top view type of thing.
I wouldn't say touchy over the top. I mean, so
if you take page 30, for example, it gives you the comments on what's happening there.
Yeah,
so if you want to see those four targets, then you go to page, what's your page there,
54,
and you can see the fresh water, the four targets are outlined there, and you can see the one Q2 over the right hand side that is
does it
green
say page
and
50?
Three that are yellow.
Does it say page 54 or something?
Yep, 50.
Yep, 54.
Yep.
So
it actually said that, did it?
Page 54.
Well, from page 54 of the attachment, you can see all the measures that council has in its annual plan.
Gotcha.
That is the public facing service statements, measures, and targets. So that's the important stuff.
That's really good.
or the stuff that's outward facing anyway. And it underpins the information that you see in the summary and the detail under each significant activity. So for fresh water on page 30, you can see that it tells you we've got one service statement, four measures and four targets, and that's that left-hand column. And then it shows you that, you know, one is on track, three are yellow, and, yes, out of the four. Yes. And then it gives you a commentary overview. Yep. That's that middle box, all that text in it. And on the right hand, it shows you, gives you a bit of commentary around the targets themselves. What has happened over this last quarter? What has changed since we've last had this conversation? How's it moving? And then there's a watch list box, which is just giving you a heads up on where we think it might be heading, if there's something that we think might be going off track in future quarters or year end. And emerging issues is more, you know, what's happening nationally that, you know, we just need to be mindful of, and you're probably having a discussion around in a separate report in a different committee. So that's the kind of the structure of it.
Could you contemplate changing the percentages we're aiming for to say something like over 99% rather than 100%? The reason being that you only need one little silliness to turn it red, because and once it has happened on the 2nd of April, well, the 2nd of July or whenever the years roll over, it looks like it's dreadful, and it might well not be anything much at all. So could we change them so as in some ways you reflect the actually damn near perfect rather than I've failed?
I think that's a really good question, and if we take our minds back to the annual plan conversation we had this morning, and there were some questions, good questions asked around what actually is the level of service we're looking at for air, for example. Well, you know, from a staff perspective, we're looking to improve how we frame that in this report for 2021 and beyond, and we will frame that shop window better, which answers those annual plan questions that you've raised. And as part of that, we'll be bringing back what we're suggesting for 2021 in terms of these measures, and I think that's where you'll have the opportunity to say, hang on, that target's setting us up to fail, and it's actually not really helpful.
Neither, of course, should you say we're aiming for 50% when you've been doing 50% for 10 years and it's not even a stretch. So it's good that we'll have an opportunity to come back to those.
Yeah, so before we adopt this 2021 annual plan, we'll be doing that with you.
Councillor Kelleher. Back into that groove.
Do we accept the report?
Oh, okay, thank you. I'll second. Any other queries, questions?
I think
Councillor Scott, then Councillor Hope.
Yeah, I had one on the fresh water where you said on your first one, it must have been that page, just trying to find it on the beauty of these screens. The first fresh water one.
Page 30, yep.
Shit, is it? Anyway, why may you not achieve your target? I haven't actually got it in front of me there, but it was about achieving limits. Oh, here it is. It actually says assessments are carried out this is page 54. Assessments are carried out to determine freshwater quality against the limits set up in the regional plan, and report annually where water quality continues to meet limits and where previously not meeting the limits is improving and may not be achieved. Carrying out the assessments.
So that's that particular measure is showing as a green. So we're on track with that particular one.
Well, it's that quarter one. It says may not be achieved.
Yeah. So that's shifted to green. So we've dug into that issue.
You've dug into that
and
issue.
We're confident that it's a green.
And then it says P6. Is that page 6?
That shouldn't even be there. That's some administrative stuff that I use to assess what's going on. So,
oh, shit. I was
to
find
so sorry. That's no. It's just me keeping track of managers, and we don't need to go there. But you, okay, won't, well, you won't see it from this point forward.
Thank you for giving us the green. I'll forget.
They're all watching you.
Yeah, yeah.
No to that, Mike.
It's code.
Councillor Hope.
I have to say that Councillor Scott's answered my question.
Nice.
I was like, what's the P in the... Yep, thank you. It's much easier to understand this time. Thank you.
Excellent.
So on 56, and this is the thing about on 56, where you've got a percentage of official information requests responded to statutory time frame. So obviously some of them haven't been done with it.
We missed one.
Yes, that's exactly right. So it'd be quite neat to have a... frustrating.
At some stage, do you give us a, we've missed one out of 100 or whatever? Is
that
yeah,
on?
So...
Is
so
that later on, or have I just
missed
that?
So if you go to... the governance, section.
30, page 38.
Yeah, I thought.
Yeah, okay.
Is
there
a comment on it?
No, it hasn't. But I think we talked about that in Q1, and...
We'd missed one by one day.
The delivery's up at 98% or something, so it's Councillor Calvert's comment.
That's an absolute nonsense. Yeah. To actually put it like that's a nonsense, because people want to find out how the council's generally performing, and then, hey, there's this red light thing, and then all of it turns out to be just we need to be better than that. So the target, as Hillary says, change the target, whatever it is.
Perhaps if you had P38 beside that instead of P6.
Or P off, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, so it's saying actually in the body there.
Finance committee, okay?
That's
a legislative requirement, and it's a bit of a silly one. But yeah, we could look at recasting that for 2021 and having a realistic target in there, but also giving a nod to our legislative requirement.
There's a bit of a nuance there, but I think we can
do something.
Okay, any other queries, questions? It's been moved and seconded. We received the report. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried.
Thank you, Councillor.
Moving on. Sorry, team. So that was 10-1, wasn't it?
Yep.
So 10-2, or was it 10? Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. 10.2, sorry. This is the your finance report. I move that we receive the report. Seconded by Councillor Malcolm. Any comment from Nick?
Well, this is just... we have the three reports that are sort of all associated. The first one's the activity report that you saw. That does have financials in there, but those financials are at an activity level, so they include the OPEX and CAPEX for each activity, whereas this here is the pure finance report, so the P&L and the balance sheet. And the P&L here is only talking about the OPEX, so any CAPEX, of which we don't have a lot, we're not a big CAPEX council like TAs are, doesn't show in the P&L, but then this gives us the balance sheet as well. So you get the pure financial report separate here, and then the third leg of it is the treasury report, which gives a bit more detail around what's in some of those balance sheet items around our managed fund and other financial assets.
Thank you. Councillor Calvert. Did you have a question?
I was going
to
second.
Good as gold. No further comment, questions? It's been moved and seconded that we receive the report. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Treasury report. Sorry, team.
Short-term deposits.
Okay, I'll move that we receive the report, seconded by Councillor Calvert. Any comment, Nick?
The key one to note, I think, and somebody said the short-term deposits, the graph there, you can see, and I think I've shown this to Council just recently in workshops, but you can see there in October our cash tops up when we get our rates in, and we've got a paper coming up just on, on how much we get a big chunk of our rates in all in that one go. And then, obviously, that works its way down. So, as I said, with the annual plan, that's where we're looking at our cash flow forecasts, and I'll be bringing that back to council because we need to look at, obviously, our cash will run down there, and then we'll need to look at topping that up probably before we get to next the coming October, when we'll get all the next rates in. So we'll have a short-term piece there where we'll have to look at our operating cash flow and whether we go to the managed fund or we just look at some short-term working capital borrowing. Depending on the amount, we'll work that out and bring that back to council.
Any questions? No? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Moving on to rates, strike collection, 31 October, and penalties. I'll move that we receive the report, seconded by Councillor Scott. Thank you. Nick, anything you want to highlight? Sarah, I'm not sure whether Sarah's in the room.
No, everybody sort of had other commitments. But key thing there is, as I said, we get sort of in the low 80% of our total rates take comes in the one hit on the due date. So, and it's been consistently that way when you look at the numbers that are in there. And then we obviously, 1 November, we strike penalties. But, you know, our penalties are relatively low. You know, our outstanding rates debt is low as well. And of the amount that sitting outside the amount that comes in on the due date in October, we also have a portion that are set up on direct debit. So we generally don't have, like, a lot of councils are chasing a lot of their rates. We're not. We're very fortunate in that respect.
Mr. Hobbs.
I just want to ask a question, and I suppose it is... We only pay ORC rates once a year.
Yeah.
I pay DCC rates four times a year. Is it because, you know, DCC rates are ten times the ORC rates? Mm-hmm. Is that why? And it's just too small for us do it out.
We pay the DCC rates once a year too.
Yeah, you can pay your DCC all up front.
Can I choose ORC to do it four times a year?
No, you can choose to do it three times a year. So you can get it set up for October, February and June, so that it's all paid by the end of the financial year.
Okay.
And
I just didn't realise you even did that.
Yeah, we do. And we're getting an increasing, you know, more people are setting up direct debits all the time, which is great.
Yeah.
But for us, you know, going out and actually striking rates and invoicing four times a year is just extra administration that isn't worth it for the amount we've got.
Because it's so small. Yeah.
Councillor Hope.
Sorry, no, it's just procedural error. I just noticed there's a wee difference on our. We've got 11.4 and then it goes back to 11. I was trying to look on that. And this is just me being nitpicky, but see, we've got on ours, we've got 11.4 rate strike, and then we go up to 10.5. Yeah. It's just an error.
It should be 10.4.
Yeah, sorry, it's just a picky error. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you. Any other queries, questions? If not, it's been moved that we receive that report and moved and seconded. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Moving on to 10.5, Port Otago Constitution. Now, I think I recall Councillor Wilson moving the resolution as set out in paragraph 1, that the Finance Committee reviewed Port Otago Constitution and rules to ensure the director appointments procedure reflects best practice and report back to Council on options. The recommendations we've got in front of us today, A, B and C, essentially puts that in train. The question is, does the motion moved at the Finance Committee 11th of December reflect the direction that we're after? Because essentially the recommendation C notes any specific items that we wish the board to consider in that review. So do we want to be more specific or accurate in terms of what we're asking, or are you comfortable that the direction from the Finance Committee is really what we're after? Councillor Wilson.
Thank you for that opportunity. I think this is one part of that. I think there is a review already being undertaken which may or may not cover off the other part, and I don't know where that is specifically at.
You're referring to the Deloitte's review?
The Deloitte's, and
PwC.
Yeah, PwC.
Oh, sorry, PwC.
sorry. So this is only one part, and I think this addresses the issue that I raised about the... certainly, I don't think the chair should be limited to 70. I think others in this room may agree with that. But it also highlights that conversation that I, when this first came up, I highlighted that best practice, as we had identified in through Dunedin City Holdings, albeit it was a CCO and this is not, was to actually look at a nine-year maximum term for any director and on any company. And those are just questions that I think we need to be addressing. So
I suppose what I'm trying to ascertain is that direction that you've promoted at the Finance Committee, does that give Nick enough flesh on the bones to tease out the sort of questions that we want back from...
I think we need to add in three, and I've got... So the age is one of them.
This is clause 10.6 on there.
The age of what?
Age of the chair? It's limited to 70. That's why David Faulkner had to...
Any director.
The Constitution has a maximum age for any director at 70.
Would you like to change that?
Did you have your job lined up?
Ageism. Well, the world's changing.
It is.
You're working longer.
Particular aspects.
Yes.
Do you have the age? You'll have to actually have the age in there.
I thought it was almost illegal now.
Do for judges. You do for judges. They
Councillor
have to
Scott,
retire at 70.
Just while Kate's getting it.
Yeah, just while Kate's doing that. I assumed that we'd come back, or somebody would come back with a standard template for a modern-day constitution fit for purpose for something like the port. I mean, this was written in the day of Skeggs and facsimiles. you know,
he's still alive.
I'm sure he's older than 70. Yeah. I don't know if facsimiles are still alive. But anyway, is there a modern template that you can plonk and then we, you know, actually have a look at it and tweak a few things as opposed to... Or do you always just stick with the same constitution forever? Is that good practice? It's an innocent question.
Some companies don't have a constitution because you don't have to have one, and then just the default provisions of the Companies Act apply. But companies typically put a constitution in because there's some things that you have to have a constitution, otherwise the default and defaults in the Companies Act then don't allow you to do certain things. Like, for example, you couldn't have director indemnity insurance under the Companies Act, but the constitution allows it. So there's a whole lot of things like that. It'll be different for all different companies, so that's typically why... You know, each company needs to look at their own, and all your constitution is also, they're just the things that you're putting in that are different than the provisions that already apply in the Companies Act.
Well,
so,
should we be given a copy of the Companies Act to actually have a look at it all?
Well, typically, you know, Companies Act is the Companies Act. The constitution would typically be that your company will look at how those rules need to be written to allow the company to operate efficiently. If you were expecting somebody to go away and bring a template and, you know, to have a look at, it's how long is a piece of string, and do I do that? Because I'm not best placed to do that by any stretch of the imagination, because I don't know the best way that the port company should run, which is why it's suggested to highlight any areas that you're not comfortable with, and then we'll pass that on to the port and say, go away and have a look at the constitution, and in particular these areas. I think they'll probably take that as an opportunity to look at the whole document, and they'll probably go away and do exactly what you said with getting some legal advice on, you know, where does this sit with current
documents.
My question
is, yeah, I mean, you raised the 8, you know, the 70 thing, like, but there's no discussion whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, like, it's not a democratically elected like this council, it's actually an appointment. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but what I would expect is to have modern good practice constitution. That's what I would expect. And I would also expect to be able to peruse that just to see if there are any issues.
And I think that's what they'd go away and come back with. I think things like, as you pointed out, this was last amended in 97. So, you know, there's things in there. My understanding is that it was quite common, say, back then or around then. I think there was actually an NZX listing requirement that that directors couldn't be older than 70. So at the time, that was probably the standard practice, whereas now I think you'll struggle to find many constitutions that have that sort of clause in there. Yeah. So they are the sort of things that would get, you know, would get reviewed, and they would be able to come back with, here's what they propose and the reasons why.
Well, that would be my reply. Come back with something that's modern and fit for purpose.
Well, aren't we asking for...
So I'm going to go back to Councillor Wilson. Sorry,
I found my notes
check
now.
Whether there are any other additional items to add to three.
I did want to understand what was best practice with turnover of directors and making sure that they're staged, because there are two parts to that. One is getting churn, because that's actually healthy in a company, but also making sure you don't get too much churn all at once, which may or may well be managed well at the moment, but should be actually part of that decision-making process somewhere. That outlier, which I still haven't got my head around, because I come from a different local government type system, with the CCO requirements, and these are excluded. What makes me nervous there is that anything could go under a port company that could otherwise be a... And a CCO, Masters Games in Dunedin, is run as a CCO. You know, something that that simple has a much bigger watch over it because it's a CEO. So and this doesn't.
Is any of that being picked up by the PwC?
That's a good question. And so it's that angst I have between what a CCO would require and what this doesn't require because it's excluded, and whether we should be joining that up in a different way.
So that's a slightly separate question to the
Constitution. It could be the Constitution. It could be covered in the Constitution. That this, and I think Aurora have got it, that even though they're excluded by the... Maybe it's in the Statements of Intent.
It is in the Statement of Intent.
Yeah. Yes, they're excluded as a CCO. They will meet those Nagoya Request standards.
So
Kate's suggesting... Well, there's several things she might be suggesting, but one of them is that the DCC chose to... require Aurora to behave as if they were subject to Lagoima when they weren't. And the Port Otago, we could also do the same thing, and it would be done under the Statement of Intent effectively, but that's not to do with their constitution. They would still be their special little area of themselves. But I think that we're not asking the port company... We're not asking the turkeys to organise Christmas here, are we? That's something for us to do, not to ask the port whether they would like to be subject to Lagoima.
That's B. Request the company to undertake a review. I'm thinking we should be undertaking that review.
Yes, so that's... So that's not under three.
No.
Could you just, between you two, maybe just work on some wording to add into three to cover off that topic? Because I'm just not sure whether it should be this process or Statement of Corporate Intent.
I don't think it's under three.
Whatever.
We're not asking them to. I'm also a bit concerned about how we... ask for B too, because I think if we're saying a review of the company's constitution to see whether there's any problems with it, rather than we want a new modern shiny one, it's sort of like there's a car, we don't know whether there's anything wrong with it, why don't we just go and buy a new one, a new modern one. I think we should, the focus should be on reviewing it and to see what is not, if not working, if anything, about the current constitution.
I think Councillor Scott has used the words fit for purpose, so in terms of relevance...
I know, but I'm saying something modern and fit for purpose is just saying get a new one, whereas there might not be anything wrong with the one we get.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I'm not sure whether we've actually tidied that up completely, but Councillor Wilson, maybe you'll come back to us if you're not comfortable. Councillor Malcolm?
Yeah, I just wonder if that wording for B should be ensure that it is current and fit for purpose.
Yes.
The word modern doesn't, because it could actually be, everything in there could be as good as gold. And I think the rest of the stuff that we're talking about is something that we need to do around our statement of intent and our, when we need to sit down as whatever committee is, if this is a committee looking over it, we need to have that discussion what we really want. But I think we should be just taking out D, and I'd rather just move that as we have it as 1, 2 and 3 at the moment. And I think that gives the direction to the directors that we want a review done of the Constitution. And at the end of the day, we will have oversight of that anyway, and we have to approve it. So I'd move 1, 2 and 3.
Just hold on to that thought just for a second. I just need to check with Nick. Are you?
Yeah.
Do you understand the conversation that we've currently had in terms of, because you're going to be the messenger, essentially, I imagine, here to flesh out what's not in the words and the recommendation? Are you comfortable with?
Well, what's been moved is 1, 2 and 3, and the specific things that will get noted are up there, although the only thing that has been noted that isn't up there is maximum term, but I've got a note of that. Because the age of 70, it had been said about consideration of staggering board members, which was, I take out of that, that's around the... that tied in with the maximum term, but you want to make sure that maximum term doesn't bite yourself, and that you end up having nobody with any longevity on the board.
Yeah,
so
be considered.
Those are the three key things that I've heard, and then overarching that is that do a review to check that it is current and fit for purpose.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I think we should suggest to Nick that he recommend they have a critical look at clause 10.1c in their constitution, which I was surprised to find there. It seems to mean that there could be at any one time two members of this council sitting on the board of Port Otago. And I certainly would not want to see that happen. I'm surprised it's there at all. And I wonder why it is still there.
Mm.
Probably because it's never been reviewed.
Yeah, probably the days.
That was before
true.
Calvert and Cohn were doing the city council.
Well, I don't want to hear the city council mentioned as a model in this review at all. I think we're doing this and they are doing that. They're not a CCO.
Excellent. So that's
there was a move. I remember one of our regional council chairmen. Was inclined to become a member of the Port Otago board, but he got screamed at very quickly and told that was a stupid idea, which it was.
Understand your concerns.
And currently 70 puts.
Those days are well over, I would suggest, aren't they?
Right.
Any other discussion on this topic? Everyone's comfortable? Councillor Malcolm's happy to move 1, 2,
I'm
and 3.
I'm very happy.
Seconded by Councillor Kelleher.
Just
Councillor Calvert.
Sorry, could that last bit say, when it says specific items they wish to consider, we want to say that those are specific, but there could be others, you know, that including notes, items they wish to include to consider include, sort of to give the impression or the feeling that there's other things. They're just some of them. I mean, you wouldn't want to limit them to those ones, is all I'm saying.
Include, but not limited to.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's suggestions, that's right.
Cool. Happy with that? All good, Liz?
Yeah.
Yep. Any discussion? Had a crack, crack at
just
it?
Just one more
Councillor
thing. I'm not sure whether it's worth suggesting or not, but it's incredibly vague, this constitution, on how they get their directors. Simply says they're appointed by ordinary resolution. And then there's a few qualifying things after that which are not particularly helpful. Now, and I know how they get their directors. It's done by discussion in back rooms between them and us. But how do they feel about that? Have they got a better suggestion of how directors are recruited and considered and chosen?
What about the Port Hope, the liaison group? The
liaison committee.
Well, that's where it happens.
Is it?
So, are we here to rewrite this now, or do we want them to do it?
And that's what it's sort of. We want them to review it, but we're making a few notes for them to say, here are things we'd like you to think about. They might not regard them as worthwhile suggestions, but if they're on our front of mind as to ways in which we could improve the governance of Port Otago through its board, then let's hear from them.
Are we comfortable with what's...
Is it in the Constitution, Michael? Or because at the end of the day, we could sell the shares of Port Otago, and that's some, and so the mechanism of appointment might be, you know, above the Constitution, I assume. So, like, if you sold your shares...
It's outside because it's a shareholder's internal matter.
Nick,
any comment?
Shareholding local authorities.
I would have thought it would have sat outside of the Constitution, but you know, we can just note that to them about whether there should be anything in here or not. My initial view would be that sort of process would sit outside and be probably, you know, in agreement, be sorted with this council and the port as to how that process works. It's just a process document. They can change at any time. Doesn't need to sit in the Constitution, which is a registered document at the company's office.
And you'll use the example of historically it's been the Port Liaison Committee and et cetera. Okay. Everyone comfortable?
Yes.
Okay, I put the motion, those three together. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Carried. Now the last item is the notice of motion from Councillor Calvert, which is...
What do we note on this one?
So we're on page 90 or 91?
90.
So it's essentially set out, take it as read, but I'll just ask Councillor Calvert, who I imagine will move it, and I'll second it, but give you the opportunity to speak to it, Councillor Calvert.
I haven't got anything else I want to add to it. And yes, I will move it, and you want to session it, that would be good. Unless it needs any tweaking as a result of anything Nick might be saying.
I'd also like to ask the Chief Executive a comment as well. Yeah, but Nick, and then we'll go to the Chief Executive.
I mean, just in general, I sort of, you know, my comment would be that I think it's a little bit vague. I don't understand why it's directing the finance department to do anything, given that it then sort of says that these are communication-type documents. I don't know exactly what would be included around the bit about, like, Port Otago. I mean, we don't operate Port Otago, so what we'd be telling the community about Port Otago, I wouldn't see what we'd be doing from our point of view as a shareholder. The other things that are in there, I mean, there's the pieces that we report on all of those in all sorts of various aspects. Again, if things are going to be reported on bus services and the Leith, from a finance point of view, I can pull some financials together, but I fail to see that they're communicating to the community on some sort of, you know, information document is suddenly a finance department responsibility. And then the requirement to bring that back by the next meeting, I mean, I've got other priorities beyond doing this that I'll have to reprioritise if we're going to stop and start doing these sort of communication documents.
If okay. I could yep. answer that, I understood the Finance Committee was the appropriate place, but it could be Gavin's. I don't know where it would come from, but it's absolutely vital that we communicate with people out there about what we're up to, and you get that as a result of giving the people some understanding. I mean, out there we've got at the moment people who don't even really understand that it's us who run the buses, not the DCC in Dunedin. So I think it's crucial that we can get some of this information out, and it's really reasonably simple, and if we're going to be transparent and accountable, we need to start by telling people what we're doing and not in the way of an annual plan statement and things, because it doesn't give you an idea. What I'm thinking of, for example, with bus services is how much do we get in total, how much are we spending, that it's how much of that is government for people over 65, how much of it is fare box, how much, where does the money come from, what happens when things change. So it's just to give more, and we can try some of these and see whether they can fall together. Why I suggested Finance Committee was that some of the information would need to come from Nick's area, but not, and some of it would need to be produced by the comms people, so Sarah would give a better idea of how we get that information out there. But it's time we actually started telling people what we're doing, not in a specifically we are ticking a box to consult people on such and such, but background information on what our roles are, what are we doing here. So that was where that proposal had come from.
Okay. Chief Executive, did you want to speak in general to the notice of motion and pick up on obviously the issues that Nick has raised, concerns,
etc.? Absolutely. I can understand what it is. I think I understand what it is that you're asking for. I suppose when I put that together with the information we already provide on websites, through annual plan processes, through annual reports, and a whole bunch of other stuff, I'm just not sure that another piece of paper, like, well, the question is, what are we going to do with it, I guess, is my question. The other thing I would say is that we now have a range of really good, well, I think they're good, presentations about what we do that are easily picked up and used in a face-to-face setting or, talking to a group or whatever the case may be. They're not necessarily just on these things are quite, the Leith is quite narrow in the sense that, yes, we have the Leith, but we have a lot of other schemes and other things that we do. So, if we did one for the Leith, then we'd probably be wanting to do, you'd want to do a whole series. You'd want to do,
Funny you should mention that.
Yes. So I think the first thing, before we can tailor it, we have to know how we're going to use it. That's the first thing. Because if we don't know how we're going to use it, it won't be right. The second thing is, it also goes towards this, is I'm not sure what you mean by workings of council. That also is, to me, just a little unclear, and so it would be great to get some more scope on that. Yes, I mean, I'm kind of unclear, I guess, about what role the Communications Working Party is playing. I don't know that these are terms of reference that's been worked out or anything else, and I kind of feel like I've got governors and then I've got this working party that's doing other stuff, and I'm not really sure, is that a decision making body, as in I have to run comms things through them and they say yes it's okay and now you can put it out or not. I'm not really sure what that is, or what's intended by that. So I think there's some work to do there. So I'm not trying to be difficult, and I'm definitely not saying that we won't do it. But I think, A, what's the purpose? Let's be really clear about what we're going to use these things for before we put a lot of effort into something that maybe ends up being not fit for purpose or not picked up. B, do we all understand and are we all clear about the information that's already out there? C, need some clarification about the Communications Working Party. Not really sure how that's supposed to interface with some of this stuff. Anything can be done, but
it just,
some questions.
Okay. The working party just seemed to be a place that it could, instead of coming back to the whole council while it was just being produced into a one-pager, it didn't. The people who particularly were interested in the communications we put out, and I expected that they would end up on the website as just so as you could look up bus services and things and get an understanding.
Hold it there. There's three speakers, Councillor Robertson, Councillor Scott and Councillor Forbes. If we deal with those three speakers first, and then we'll just come back perhaps to the Chief Executive just to think about a way forward.
Yeah, I support what the Chief Executive has just said. That was pretty much what I was going to say. I don't support the motion, but it doesn't mean it's not a good idea. It's just we need to identify what's the issue that we're trying to solve here. Is it lack of clarity about what we do as a council? Well, that's quite a big subject. And then how we're communicating. Totally agree. We've got a lot of communications going on already. If I was designing something to, and I'm not an expert like I said before, so I'm not going to do that, but if I was designing something for the community to understand what we do, it probably wouldn't be a paper coming to us. It would be a communications out there that's quite digestible for the community. I don't think that would be somewhere they would necessarily pick up, most people. And then also just, wow, how wide is this? It's basically everything we do as a council. That's a big subject. Who's going to pick these subjects? I've got four off the top of my head that are completely different ones to this. I'm sure everyone else does. Someone wants to know about the Clutha flood scheme. Someone wants to know about the leaf. Someone wants to know about rabbits and pests and compliance. It's a really, really big subject. So you need to narrow down to what's the issue we're trying to solve here and what's the aim of bringing a paper to the council. Is it really to inform the community or is it to investigate certain subjects as a council? Totally different things.
Thank you.
Sorry, I need to go. Thank you very much.
Councillor Scott.
Just briefly make the comment that over the years, and hopefully we're getting better at it, you know, trying to understand our annual report and the workings of our financials is an impossibility. It's quite a complicated thing. So I actually sympathise with the sentiment that that it would be good to have some brief descriptions of basically how it all works from a funding, rating, whatever. And to be on the website in a user-friendly sort of fashion, not for Nick and his team to do with urgency, but to and maybe it's the communications people that ultimately put it together with the financial or whatever. So I sympathise that if we're going to be transparent, Joe Average in the street should have a better feel than they should know. There should be somewhere where they can easily go to get a better understanding than they currently got. So I sympathise with it, and I think it should be a work in progress, not as urgent, and it should be on our website, and also when staff are engaged, so that they quickly look at it and say, "Oh, is this how it basically works?" Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Forbes.
Okay, Gretchen pretty much covered what I felt about this. I think if we peel that back and go up a bit of a higher level, what we've got is that we've got a general dissatisfaction with how people are understanding what we do from a communications perspective, which I think we've already kind of discussed in that working group. So I totally sympathise with where you're coming from. Like Gretchen, I feel the same. This is really Dunedin-centric. I want to hear about how the money's going to Lake Hayes. That's the same kind of point. But I think that this is a wider communications issue, and I think that it's actually really chunky and really fraught, and I think we should be looking at our comms plan, which is already in our remit, to look at that and see how we do this better. In New Zealand in general, if we go up to a really high level, our public have pretty much outsourced their governance to people like us, and they don't really want to know. So, and now that's starting to change as things are starting to crumble and issues are becoming hitting walls, and we're now having to try and get public to really re-engage with us. And this is a national issue. So from our perspective, we've got to do that from a communications perspective, with really smart communication that people want to engage with. There is a lot of information on our website. I mean, I know not everybody's online, but there's a lot of ways of getting information from ORC, and it's pretty well put together. And from a comms perspective, from my comms perspective, but people aren't that willing to engage with it, and we aren't very good at making them want to engage with it. And I think that I really like the idea of one pages on everything. That's fantastic. But I think we need to go back and look at how we actually run our communications and how we seriously get people to understand that actually things have changed a bit in the world and we need to talk, all of us. That's my bit on it.
Councillor Wilson, then Councillor
Keller. So I don't think it from a finance perspective it's something we should be asking finance to do. I think so.
Thank you.
Well, I do invite the mover to suggest that we don't need to put who does it in there, just a request that we produce a series one page. I'm really sympathetic with this, and these are topics that I had people raising as I electioneered. People don't get it. I'm slightly nervous for the bus services in Dunedin, because as we go through the regional, the RPTP, I always forget what they mean. Yeah. Hopefully that will change anyway, although it might be a good way of engaging people in understanding what bus services and how they come about and how they work in order to do decent submissions. It doesn't worry me which ones we start with. I think we need to put something in the sand to get people to understand stuff to see where we could go, and that's a problem. We could put it off and see what comes through the comms strategy, but I do want to see some direction in us to start putting some runs on the board about being better, and I think these are as good as examples of ones we might put up. I think Lake Hayes or the ferry are really good examples of projects we've got on the go at now that we actually haven't resolved how we're going to fund them, and we have to be really clever about engaging community and understanding that. It is not an annual plan document that will do that. It will be a one-pager that tells that story, and it's really fine art to it. So I don't care what the ABCD is. I think we need to start doing this in order to get our comms improved. I don't care if it's not the finance department doing it. I'm going to support it as a something I'm keen on. I don't care if A, B, C, and D aren't there.
I'm happy to amend it to say request staff.
Okay, Councillor Callagher. I'll come back to you in a moment, Councillor Calvert, after Councillor Decker. Sorry.
Can I suggest that the motion be left to lie on the table and the communications working group be asked for more detail as what they'd like to see in each of those items?
You're moving that way, seconded by Councillor Hope. Yep. Now, before I deal with that, I just want to make sure that Councillor Deeker's comments and also Councillor Calvert's, I know that's a procedural motion, but can I ask you too that you're happy if I deal with that procedural motion?
Yeah, Councillor Callagher just about took the words out of her mouth. Okay. This motion has to go back to the communications working group to make it sensible. Yeah.
Okay. Councillor Calvert.
Inflammatory. I'm happy to go with where Gary's going. Presumably it would then say request the communications working group look into this. And
let's lay on the table.
And for it to learn, for that to happen. Yeah. So do you want to? Is that where you were going? Yeah.
Councillor Hope seconded it. I'll just check with Liz the wording of the motion.
So Councillor Keller has asked that this issue lie on the table and provide this motion, notice of motion, to the comms working group to come together with an idea.
Further clarify the detail required in each of the for each of the items suggested.
Everyone comfortable? I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 Against? Carried. That concludes the meeting. Thank you very much for your attendance. Thank you very much to the staff and the media.
Thank you.